He's faithful. Because he's faithful, I can let go. I'd have trouble letting go if I didn't know he was faithful. Praise God. Jesus said, he that loses their life will find it and save it. What's that called? Letting go. And I can let go because he's faithful to do what he said he would do. Praise God. Father, we love you this morning. We trust you this morning. Father, in the face of natural circumstances and situations, Father, in the face of tests and oppression, we trust you. We rest in your faithfulness. We rest in your goodness. We rest in your kindness, Father. And Lord, as we gather around your word this morning, we know help is here. Our encouragement has come. Answers are being delivered to us. Revelation and impartation. Father, we thank you for the anointing of God here this morning. Yes, Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Glory to God. He just said right now, I want to heal bodies right now. Right now. If you need healing in your body, just reach forth your hands and receive it by faith. We just thank you for the power of God going to all bodies that need to be made well. Thank you for your mercy, Father. Yes, 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 yes. Chest pains. People that are experiencing chest pains right now. You say, if you're watching, you say, what is this, Pastor Mike? Well, it's called a word of knowledge. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12, where God supernaturally reveals something of past or present that you wouldn't know unless he showed you. And there's people right now, you're experiencing chest pains right now. Just reach out and receive your healing. Yeah, Lord, I see that as well. Severe shoulder pain. Severe shoulder pain. Right now, that's being touched right now. The power of God's going into your body. Just receive it and thank him for your healing. Yes, Father, we thank you for it. Oh, thank you for your visitation. We thank you for the anointing of God. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Healing is available to all. Say, well, why does he then, if it's available for all, call out specific things? Well, first of all, I don't know every reason why he does everything. But I know this, if I was struggling, maybe some people are struggling in their faith with their chest pain. Maybe people are struggling in faith with their shoulder. Maybe they're discouraged, those people, and feel like God's forgot about them. He hasn't forgot about you. He loves you so much. Praise God. He wants to heal your body. We praise you, Father. We thank you for interrupting the service this morning. Father, I didn't even think about this. It wasn't even on my radar until I began to pray and you dropped it in my heart. Thank you for healing bodies. You are kind and you are merciful. And I'm constantly in awe of your love and your mercy. Thank you, Father. Yeah. And you know, we're going to have testimonies. People are going to text me, email me, and I'm going to let you know about them, and it's going to build your faith that God's good. But I just heard this in my heart. It's a pretty specific one. The back of your ankle, the ankle area, right in the back of your foot. Someone's struggling with that. Might be multiple people, but you are having a hard time with that. Healing is yours. Just reach out and receive it. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for healing bodies today. We've seen it over and over again in this church. You show up and heal people. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord. You're so good.
The lungs area, specifically asthma is what I hear, but problems in your lungs. He's touching that right now. Reach out your hands and receive it by faith. We praise you, Father. We glorify you. Just thank him for these healings, these manifestations.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Father, you're the healer. You're so good. We praise you this morning. We praise you. Is there anything else, Father, before we go forward? Anything else? You're free to take up as much time as you'd like. We praise you this morning. We glorify you. We praise you. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for impartation, revelation. Thank you for unction. Thank you for words from heaven. Thank you that bullseyes will be hit in people's hearts this morning. And Father, thank you for healing bodies. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're viewing with us here today and you're newer and not been around this or experiencing anything like this, in these two churches in Allegheny and South Dayton, we've seen miracles. Healing miracles. I'm talking about things that doctors can't explain. That doctors said people would never be free from. We've had multiple diseases, including cancers, that were given certain diagnosis and they're gone and they're healed. Certain diseases that there's no help for, no answer, no cure for, that people are not experiencing anymore, that the doctors can't figure out, there's no symptoms anymore. We've had body parts healed, praise God. We've had people that were told they couldn't have children, miracles that way, praise God. And so my point is this, it's not a family church thing. This is important for you to know. It's not a Mike Anderson thing. It's a great physician thing. God is our great physician. Exodus 15:26 says that He is Jehovah, the Lord God Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth you. In Psalms 103 and verse 3, He says, I'll not only forgive your iniquities, I will heal all your diseases. He's a healer. So if this is different to you and you think, I'm a little skeptical, we've seen God's power. We've seen things that can't be explained by science, that can't be explained by natural things, only can be explained by the power of God. So my point is, you're in the right place at the right time. Father, we thank you. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, you can open to John 16:33. We're just going to start here real quick. I'm excited about today's message. What a service so far. We heard from Elsa. And we heard from the healer. Praise God already. I mean, wow. Where else can you get? I mean, this is a place to be. Family church. That's the thing, man. You say Family Church Solid Day, Family Church Allegheny. You got a crazy pastor. Crazy things happen. Praise God. Elsa shows up. I mean, the healer shows up. Praise God. John 16:33. You know, one of the many privileges and benefits of being a pastor, and also the importance of why people need a shepherd, is in praying for the flock. Because if you look at it from a natural standpoint, the pastor's a shepherd and the people are the sheep. Well, in a natural standpoint, the shepherd, a good natural shepherd, cares for the state of his flock. Yes. Cares for how his flock is feeling, understands when they're facing things, when there's threats, when there's danger, when there's healing that needs to be administered, when there's encouragement, when you know, just take care of the problems that are going on. That's what a good shepherd does. And the wonderful thing about pastoring and pastoring by the Holy Ghost is it would be impossible for me to keep tabs on every single one of the sheep in an extremely personal situation. I wouldn't be able to do that, nor would I want to do that, nor would you want me to do that. But what God does is many times God reveals to me the heartbeat of the sheep or the state of the sheep. And every time it's happened in some supernatural, really standout ways for me, it's always manifested in natural things confirming it for me. I could go into details about it, but I won't for time's sake. But God has let me in and shown me some things and revealed some things to me and about the state of the flock in Allegheny and South Dayton. And today's help for you. Today's encouragement for you. Today is answers for you. So get ready, because we need this, praise God. But in John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." Notice what he says, in the world you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have tests and trials. And we're going through one right now, tests and trial, right? And what's you know, spiritually, the test and trial is what? We want to get back to church. Listen, there's nobody that wants to be in church more than me. You might equal my desire to be there, but not more than my desire. And you might think to yourself, well, Pastor, you're in church. You get to go there. This isn't the same for me. Put yourself in my shoes. I mean, Jeff and Jake are here, and thank God they're big mouths. And I mean that in a blessing. Like, they amen me. I'm not saying that demeaning. I'm glad. It encourages and it helps me, and they're a blessing that way. But preaching to empty chairs and not being around the sheep, it affects the pastor. Just because I can show up to the location and preach the word doesn't mean I'm not affected. Doesn't mean I don't want to be back as bad as you want to be back. And different trials we're going through, maybe in your finances or just with loneliness or, you know, our natural way of life kind of being flipped upside down right now. We're in a test.
Yes, amen.
But the Bible says in the world when you have tests, he says, be of good cheer. He says, for I've overcome the world. He says, in the middle of a test, I want you to be of good cheer. That means comforted and encouraged. So today, praise God, the Holy Ghost has given me something to comfort and encourage you. Praise God. And his word is our help. That's why I sent that text out. I don't remember, it was in the 9 o'clock hour, sometimes just stating that don't underestimate the power of what God's word can do to you, because it's a supernatural substance that turns the tables on the natural realm. And it's the natural realm that tries to hold us back. It's the natural realm that tries to oppress us. It's the natural realm that tries to discourage us and get us out of faith and out of hope. And so today you're going to be comforted and encouraged by God's word. Of course, we need this right now. You know, of course, you know, in New York State here, and I'll keep my opinions to myself. I think that's a good thing for me just right off the bat to just tell myself, keep your opinions to yourself, Michael. You just don't do it. But anyways, you know, the governor had extended the pause order of New York State until May 28th for this region. And of course, we know that New York State has come out with the different phases of when you can reopen. And this region, again, keep your opinions to yourself. Keep your opinions to yourself. Keep bad boy. Keep your opinions to yourself. We didn't even hit phase one yet in this region for whatever the reasons are. And so, and you look at the different phases, there's a few articles out there that don't even really tell you specifically when churches are going to be given the green light to open back up and to be open for business again. You know, opinions to yourself. Michael, everybody right now, tell me, you just say right to the camera, Pastor Mike, you just keep your opinions to yourself. I don't need to be about my opinions. They're trying to get out. They're trying to get out, but I'm not going to let them. Anyways, and so we don't even know, because with the phases, and are we phase four? Are we phase two? What phase are we going to be in? You know, you've heard different things. There's potential in the natural realm that this could go on for a little bit more. Naturally, there is a potential of that. And I know what that has done to people's psyche, what people's mentality, to people's emotions, because you love God and you want to be back in church.
Amen.
Not to mention all the other things. The number one thing you should be concerned about is not Applebee's opening back up. The number one thing you should not be most, even if you work at Applebee's or work at a salon or work at whatever, the number one thing that people ought to be wanting and desiring to open back up is the houses of worship.
Yes.
The houses of God, because this place does things for people that Applebee's can't.
Yeah.
This place does things for people that the salon can't do.
Yeah.
And we need this place back open, because there's power in the corporate worship. There's power in coming to church. We know by the word that God said, don't forsake it. There's something there, praise God. And so we all want to get back. And let me just say this. I don't mean to get on your case about this, but if you're not really that concerned when the church opens back up, your priorities are so out of whack and you need prayer. You need a severe renewing of the mind, because the house of God and the things of God is where everything else radiates to the blessing with your kids, the blessing in your money, the blessing in your body, the blessing in your business, the blessing in your job, the blessing in your mind. And so if you're one of these people say, well, if it opens up or not, doesn't matter to me. We got this online thing and who really cares? You are so deceived.
Yes, yes.
You are. And you need to get your mind back renewed to the word of God. You've got too much world in you.
Right.
But I know for the majority of people, you are itching to get back in church.
Yes.
That if you could pick anything to come back to normal, it would be to come back to church. And I am with you.
Yes.
You know, these pictures in the seats helped me so much, because, like I said, the shepherd wants to be around the sheep. And at least I get to see your faces somewhat, you know. And now I didn't get to see everybody. I wish everybody would have sent a picture, but it's a picture can't do what being around you, hugging you, seeing your face, loving on you can do. And so I'm affected as well, and I want this to change and turn around, praise God. And so I want to help us in this test and trial. Because let's be honest, this is a test and trial we've never experienced in our lifetime. In my lifetime, in 41 years, I've never been not able to walk into a church if you wanted to. Amen. And so this is a test. And we know this, that the enemy loves keeping the doors closed. This is people's help. This is people's answers. And so we're in a test. We're in a trial. But Jesus said, in tests and trials, the only reaction we should have is cheer.
Yes.
Be of good cheer.
Amen.
Be encouraged.
Yes.
Be comforted. Well, I know that the natural tries to push on you and pull you down into discouragement and to oppression, but the word will pull us back up. Praise God. So I want to help you. Are you ready for help this morning? Because we need it. I want to fill you with faith. I want to fill you with answers because we will get to the other side. Amen. We're going there. Praise God. But we need to navigate skillfully and successfully and filled with faith. Praise God. Go with me to Acts chapter 12. We're going to go to two completely different things today of what the Holy Ghost is telling us to encourage you and to comfort you in this time, because you know, naturally looking, if it's phase four and the way they're talking, if it is, I don't know. I don't have any inside information on that, except I'll let you know what the Holy Ghost told me when we started this thing, when we get to that point. But it could go into June. It could naturally go into July. And if that's the case, let's do it right, praise God. Let's not do it oppressed. Let's not do it sad. Let's not do it discouraged. Let's not do it going mentally crazy and losing our minds. That's not faith. That's not how children of God live and test. That's not cheer, praise God. So what we're going to do is we're going to give the devil a black eye this morning. Praise God. Acts chapter 12. Let me get there. I'm yipping too much here. Acts chapter 12. Praise God. We win, he loses. Acts chapter 12, it says in verse 1, "Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church." So what was happening? The church was under attack. What's happening right now? The church is under attack. The Bible says he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, that was a big attack. Took out one of the top three in Jesus' army. Remember, Peter, James, and John were in the inner circle. That was the James that got killed. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, of course, he's being motivated by the devil, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. Let me tell you something, people.
Come on.
We ought to pray for our people in authority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that's so true.
Because either God and the angels can influence them, or the devil and the demons can influence them. We see here Herod. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Herod was walking out the killing of James in the apprehension of Peter, but Herod wasn't working on his own. Herod was being motivated and influenced by the wrong things, praise God. That's why we pray for our leaders. I don't care if you agree with them or not, you pray for them. I don't care if you like them or not, you pray for them. The Bible doesn't say run your mouth about your leaders. The Bible doesn't say criticize and post on Facebook what a bunch of idiots they are. The Bible says pray for those in authority. You want to be honorable and you want to do things God's way? You got to get out of your opinions and out of your flesh. Stop criticizing, stop posting, stop running people down at the dinner table and start lifting people up in prayer. Glory to God. I know it's not popular, but I don't give a rip about being popular.
That's right.
The Bible tells us what to do, and I'm going to do the word of God, praise God.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like the governor. I don't like the president. I don't like this person in authority. Pray for them.
Yes.
Praise God. Be honorable.
Yeah.
Glory to God. You say, I thought you were going to spot your opinions. That's not an opinion.
That's right.
That's what the word tells us to do.
Yes.
Praise God. That's why I need to keep my opinions down, because my opinions don't matter. The word matters. The word matters. It says, "And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaterions of soldiers to keep him." This is Peter. Remember, he killed James. Now he's going after another top dog. It says, "Intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people, Peter was therefore kept in prison." But look at this. "But prayer was made without ceasing." What's that mean? Constant prayer was made for Peter of the church of God unto him. What's that mean? The church, the body of Christ that was under attack, started to pray.
Yes. Amen.
They prayed. Hallelujah. Now, what we do know about prayer in James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says that the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Talking about Elijah, how he prayed, was able to stop the rain. He prayed, was able to get the rain to come, praise God. And the Bible's telling us prayer has power. The Amplified says of James 5 and verse 16 that prayer makes power available. No prayer, no power. Prayer equals power. So the Bible says that the church started praying for Peter. What happened? The church started making power to come against the enemy or the wicked one. And what happened when the church prayed? The Bible says that in verse 6, when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. What happened? Power was made, and the situation was overturned. Yeah, let me say that again. When power was made, the situation that was there was overturned, praise God. When Elijah prayed, the power was made and the situation was overturned, glory to God. Praise God. Are you getting something here this morning? The Bible says that the church did nothing for James. And guess what happened for James? Nothing happened for James. The situation that needed to be turned over and turned around with the affliction against the church didn't happen. So the church had a wake-up call, and the church started praying. Power was made, and the situation was turned.
Amen.
Go with me real quick to let's go to the book of James chapter 5. Hallelujah. Now look what it says in James chapter 5 in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Well, right now the church is going through an affliction. You say, well, my life really hasn't been, my job hasn't changed, and you know, things really haven't been too different for me. If you're part of a house of God that has their doors closed, you're in affliction. You're a part of a family that's being afflicted. Listen, when my children go through something, they're feeling it in a certain way, but so's dad, because I'm their family member and I love them, praise God. So yes, is the body of Christ in an affliction right now? You betcha. And you might extend outside the walls of the church into your finances, into your emotions, into your mentality, into your mental health. All sorts of different things could be affected right now. But are we in affliction? Yes, we are. And the Bible tells us what to do. Is any among you afflicted? Let him complain. Is any among you afflicted? Let him just wish it would change. Is any among you afflicted? Let him hope that things would turn around.
No, come on.
Wow.
Come on.
You know what the church did for James? I sure wish James would be free. I sure hope this situation turns for James.
Come on.
Boy, I really want James to be delivered.
Stir it up. Come on, Pastor.
Nothing happened. But when the church prayed, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Why? The prayer changes the affliction. Why? Because power is made.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Come on.
You're not going to like this, but I'm going to say it.
Bring it.
If you're moaning and groaning and griping and complaining about how bad you want to come back to church and how bad you want this stay-at-home order and this pause order, I want change and I don't like this and this isn't good and I want it to be different, and complaining and grumbling and moaning and groaning, and you're not praying, you don't have a right to say anything.
Yeah.
Why? Because those things, it's empty words. It's empty energy.
Yes.
It's empty air. Does nothing. If you really want to get back in church, there's something you can do. If you really want to be able to go back to restaurants, there's something you can do. If you really want your job situation to change, God has given you the answer. If any among you is afflicted, let him pray. Prayer changes things. Why? Power is made, praise God. Now, why would the Holy Ghost tell me this? Apparently, people aren't praying.
Yeah, right.
People are wanting.
Yeah.
People are wishing.
Yeah.
People are hoping.
Yeah.
People are grumbling.
Come on.
But are you on your face before the Lord?
Yeah.
Crying out, Lord, turn this. This is change. Devil, get out of our city. Get out of our air. Get out of our state. Churches are going to open, confessing and praying in tongues, making power available, praying out the perfect will of God. Are you doing that? If you're not, you don't want to be back here bad enough.
Come on. That's right. That's good.
Good word.
It's like, I always go back to the golf example. Remember when I was holding the club wrong like a baseball bat, and the guy, and it was uncomfortable how he showed me to hold it. But you know what he said? If you want to hit it right, you'll pay the price and do it this way. You'll grip it different and stand different. And I mean, he had my stance all weirded out to me and my grip all weirded out and how hard I swung. Everything. He changed everything. The professional golf instructor who hits it down the middle of the fairway and God who always hits it down the middle of the fairway is saying, if you want your situation to change, complaining's going to do nothing. Hoping's going to do nothing. Wishing's going to do nothing. Wanting's going to do nothing. But if you'll pray and untie my hands, power will be made, and I will just move heaven and earth on your behalf.
Yeah.
See it all over the Word.
Yes.
Praise God.
Praise.
So what am I telling the church to do? Allegheny, South Dayton, let's start praying.
Yeah.
Start praying. We're in an affliction. Start praying. People's lives are being affected by not being able to come here. People's lives are being affected by not being able to go back to their jobs or to have things turn out to be normal. We need to pray. If you care about your fellow brother and sister in Christ and your family and you care about that those things, you'll start praying. You'll stop complaining. Fill your complaining time with prayer time. If you think about complaining, you think about grumbling, it starts to come out of your mouth. Instead, pray.
Amen.
Why waste your time?
Amen.
Praise God. So, there's that. That's your first encouragement today. Well, that wasn't very encouraging. You yelled at me the whole time. No, I yelled at you the answer.
That's right.
This is how you do it.
Yes.
This is how it's going to change.
Yes. Amen.
Pray. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. He's faithful. Isn't he? Oh, he's so good. Do you love him? I love him. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. I'm going to read down through verse 7 and just share with you the things that the Holy Ghost put on my heart that's going to what? Comfort and encourage you.
Yeah.
I'm already comforted and encouraged by the first point of praying because he gave me my answer.
Yeah. Amen.
He gave me my answer.
Yeah.
Well, I want the church to open up. Pray.
Yeah.
I want my job. Pray.
Yeah.
I want that. Pray.
Yeah.
Pray.
Yeah.
Pray.
Yeah.
1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now look at this, an inheritance incorruptible. Praise God. Well, I wish my 401k was bigger and better. Oh, you got a 401k waiting for you. Woo-hoo! You got a retirement package, an inheritance that's what? Incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Glory to God. Take that, stock market. Chew on that, 401k. Prudential, Stanley, whoever. I don't know. I don't know very much.
Oh, praise God.
But I know this. I got an inheritance that's incorruptible and fadeth not away. Praise God. Yes. Reserved for me in heaven. Praise God. Now look at this. Verse 5. Talking about us who are kept. That means guarded or shielded. Now look at this. By the power of God. Thank God for the power of God.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for the power of God? Amen. What does the power of God do? It keeps us.
Yes.
It shields us. But look at what Pastor Mike always teaches you. I'm just going to show you what the Bible says. Who are kept by the power of God through what? Faith. 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 Why do we need to keep our faith up? Because it's where the power of God flows through. You know what your depression needs? The power of God. You know what your emotions need? The power of God. You know what your finances need? The power of God. You know what your kids need? The power of God. You know what this situation needs? The power of God. Where does the power of God come through? Verse 5. Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. Why does Pastor Mike always preach about faith? Because that's where the power flows.
Amen.
That's the only tool that flows through.
Yes.
Praise God.
God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It's like the person one time said, all you preach about is faith. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Forgive me.
No.
Forgive me for showing you how to receive the promises of God. Forgive me for showing you how to overcome 1 John 5:4 and the verse before of Hebrews 6 and verse 12. Forgive me for showing you Ephesians 6 and verse 16, how to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And forgive me for showing you how to keep the power of God flowing in your life. Forgive me. I'm sorry for being wonderful. Forgive me for changing your life. Because that's what I'm doing when I preach faith. Praise God. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now look at this. Wherein you greatly rejoice. What's he saying? You greatly rejoice over these things. What? We have an inheritance. Praise God. Undefiled, uncorrupted, waiting for us in heaven. Praise God. The best retirement plan, the best 401k. Praise God. We rejoice that the power of God works through our faith. Praise God. But look what it says. Though now for a season, through manifold temptations, that means various or differing tests and trials. It says, now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness. What's that mean? An oppression, an opposition. Through what? Manifold temptations, various tests and trials. You could say, welcome to the present time. Facing that pushback, facing that oppression, facing that heaviness due to a test and a trial. It says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to talk about this portion of Scripture here in the time we have remaining. We are in a trial right now. But notice this in verse 6. It says, where you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, tests, and trials. It's telling us we're in tests and trials. That's what Jesus said would happen. But then look what it says in verse 7. Not only are you in a trial, but the Bible says the trial of your faith. Not only are you on trial, but your faith is on trial. Your faith is on trial. What do we need? We need a not guilty verdict. A favorable verdict for our faith. Why? Because we're kept, verse 5 said, by the power of God that flows through our faith. Our faith, not only are you in a trial, but your faith is on trial. Praise God. Do you see that there? Now, what I just said is we have an opportunity, or we better walk through this with a not guilty verdict or to have a favorable outcome of this trial to keep the power flowing. But look at what it says here. It says, verse 7, the trial of your faith. One translation says, the proving of your faith. One translation says, the genuineness of your faith. What's it saying to us? Oh, people think they have faith when there's money.
Come on.
Oh, people think they have faith when there's no symptoms. Oh, people think they have faith when their kids are in line doing everything right. Their business are going good. No adverse circumstances. I'm a faith giant. No. The genuineness and the proving of your faith happens in a trial. Again, why do we want faith? To keep the power going. When do we need the power? More than any time is in a trial. But in a trial, it brings forth whether or not, is it genuine faith? Is it proven faith? We're going to find out in a test and trial. That's what it says. Praise God. But here's what I want you to see. It says, the trial of your faith. Now it says being much more precious. What's much more precious? Your faith. Than of gold. Now you have to understand, gold is a big thing nowadays. It was everything back then. I mean, that's the everything. Gold is everything. And look what it says. It says, your faith is more precious than of gold, which is the greatest substance going back then. Gold. It says, though it be tried with fire. Talking about your faith and what's the fire? The fire is the test of trials. But it's also talking about that gold is tried or proven through fire. And I'll explain that in a second. With that might be found of the praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What's it talking about? Well, have you ever heard of the refiner's fire or gold being refined by fire? Well, what did they used to do in the old? They'd stick that... They'd dip that gold in hot in the fire, in the flames, and turn that thing up really high. Why? What would happen? It would burn off all the impurities. All the stuff that you don't want there that's hindering that gold from being as priceless and valuable as it is. And what would happen is it would float to the top, and they'd remove all that, and then they'd take that gold out, and it would be refined by fire. The impurities and all the yucky things that needed to be burned off could only come through the fire. Yeah.
Praise God.
You know why I don't back down at a test, but rise up to a test? Because there's things in me that need to be burnt out of me. Yeah. And they can't come when all the money's in the bank account.
That's right.
And they can't come when the healing is all there. And they can't come, why? I don't even really need to use my faith for those things. But when I'm going through a trial, oh, the impurities of Pastor Mike Anderson come to the service. What are some impurities? Complaining, grumbling, doubting, unbelieving, offense, praise God. Love walk problems. Those things don't happen when everything's honky-dory. But the Bible says we need to prove our faith. Why? Because we want to not have fake faith or tarnished or tainted faith. Just like we got to get those impurities out of the gold. How are we going to do it? The only way we can do it is raise up the temperature.
Amen.
Heat it up higher.
Praise God.
Ladies and gentlemen, all this is doing is revealing what's really in our hearts.
Yes.
Now, don't beat yourself up if you say, well, that was me, the complainer. That was me, the grumbler. That's been me, the whiner and the moaner and the groaner and complaining and walking out of love, being short with people and this and that. Okay, all that it's done is brought that to the surface. When they bring it to the surface in the gold, then, oh, look at all the impurities. No, they just get in there and get rid of it. Just scoop out the impurities and get rid of it. And if it's revealed that to you, praise God, you got some things to work on. It's in the tests and trials that our faith, like gold, gets refined. So it can be stronger and better going forward. It's the truth.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want to help you with this test and trial. Go to James chapter 1 and verse 2. I told you help is here today. Now, let me encourage you, those of you out there that are watching and you have young children. And back when I said, you know, gather like it's church and there's no nursery for them, and they're running around. You think, Pastor Mike, what planet are you living on? This is not possible. It is still your job, moms and dads and caregivers. If you're distracted during the live message, and you should have your kids there and watching the live message as much as you can, let me tell you something. If you have school-age children, there's no reason why they can't sit their butts down and be quiet. They have to in school. And we don't let Abby and Caleb get up and run around during church services. Why? You have to sit there in math, and you have to sit there in history, and you have to sit there for this class. You're going to sit there for God, praise God. It's putting stuff in them. But I understand when you have 1-year-olds and 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds, but it's still your job to make sure that you come back to these messages and put yourself in a place where you're fully receiving the Word of God, unobstructed and unhindered. Amen. It'll change your life. Amen. It'll change up. I know it's a difficult time. I know it's just a challenge. Praise God. But we're bigger than challenges. Amen. We're better than challenges. Yes. Make adjustments. Yes. It's worth it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I know people say, yeah, easy for you to say. Don't think my life comes without challenges. And showing up and being impressed and having a target on me. Don't think they. I just make adjustments, praise God. Amen. And we go forward with God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in James chapter 1 at verse 2, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various tests and trials. What's he saying? Be of good cheer. Yeah. What's he saying? Be joyful. Well, one of the reasons I can be joyful is because I know in a test and trial, the yuckiness in Pastor Mike Anderson is going to get burnt out. Amen. Or at least it's going to come to the surface and I have a choice. I can leave it there or remove it. Yes. I can see that, wow, you know, maybe you think you're in a faith for finances and then your finances go haywire and you're worried. Well, that's an impurity coming up. Yes. You thought you were in faith for healing until the doctor told you, we don't have an answer. And then you got nervous and anxious. What is that? An impurity came to the top. Now you have a choice when the impurity comes to the top. Just like the refiner does. Do I leave it or do I scoop it and get rid of it? So I can count it joy because it's the imperfect things in me that are hurting my life. And tests bring them out. They burn them out of you. They bring them to the surface, praise God. It says, my brethren, count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. See, if you don't know this, you can't count it joy. What's he say? That the trying of your faith, faith's on trial. Yes. Your faith's on trial. Amen. The trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. Amen. Now look at this. I love this. I see this just now in a way I've never seen it before. Remember what the Bible says about receiving the promises of God? Yes. It says something about faith, but it says something about something else that goes with it. Hebrews 6:12 says, be not slothful, as some of them are, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited the promises. What's he saying? Our end goal is always to get to the promises. Yes. What's the promises? Prosperity, joy, victory, healing, peace, favor, protection, supernatural blessings and leadings. We want to get to the promises. And God said, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, all my promises are yes and amen. None of them I'm keeping from you. But he tells you in Hebrews 6:12 how to get them. Faith, patience.
Amen.
A lot of times people don't have a problem with the faith part. What's the faith part? Getting built up in your heart. Getting to the starting line, you know. You hear pastor preach on healing. You hear pastor preach on finances. And the word comes in. The Bible says faith comes by hearing the word. Faith is there. You see, wow, I can have my finances change. I can have my kids change. I can have my situation change. My body can be changed. Faith is there. And you release your faith and then, meow, falls to the ground. Because the patience part, the endurance part is not there. And you know what this test and trial is bringing out when the governor says, hey, Western New York, you don't even get to start phase one. We're going to put you in the pause for 2 more weeks. You know what's being tested? Patience.
Yes.
The what? The very last requirement needed to walk into all the promises. And the Bible says that the testing of your faith produces patience. Is that a bad thing? No, because verse 4 says, let patience have her perfect work. So when you're going through a test and trial, something in you is being produced or worked. It's called patience. Why do you need patience? It's how you get to the promises. It's the thing that the people met and lacked the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody can hear the messages and get fired up and release your faith. Anybody can see a race online. Oh, there's a marathon coming. That sounds great. That's fun. I want to do that. I'm going to do that and sign up. And then you get to it and then a mile and a half comes and you're huffing and puffing.
Yeah.
You still got 25 miles, 24 miles left to go. It's not the excitement that gets it done. It's the patience and the endurance. And the Bible says in a test or trial, you can count it joy. Why? One of the impurities of your impatience that's keeping you. Because what happens in the impatient time? That's when people faint. What's fainting? Complaining is fainting. Faith people don't complain. Discouragement is fainting. It is. Grumbling, walking out of love, being short with people, being testy with people. That's fainting. And that's where people struggle. And the Bible says in a test or trial, patience is being produced. He says, but let it have its perfect work.
Amen.
So I'm going to turn this around on the devil. Two more weeks for me, at least, to get more built up in me. What did I tell you during this time? Precious things are being put in you.
Yes.
And I know what you think on the surface. Oh, yeah, right. A lot of fun this is. I didn't say it was fun.
Yeah. Right.
But precious things are being put in you. You're being in the fire right now, and things are rising up. Yucky things, character issues, and different things are rising up. This is the time to get rid of them. The devil is going to pay for this, because as he's turning up the fire, the wrong things in our life are coming to the surface, and we're smart enough to get them out of there and remove them, and we come out of this fire stronger, purer, and better than ever. Yeah. Take that, you loser, you defeated foe, you. Praise God. Matthew 24:13 says, he that endures to the end, there's an endurance part of this, will be saved. Why? Patience is being put in you. Galatians 6:9 says, if you faint not, you'll reap in due season. You know, a prize fighter, we would all love tests and trials. I want the churches to open up weeks ago.
Sure.
We would all like a test and trial to come, and like a prize fighter that would knock somebody out in the first 30 seconds. Oh, we'd like that to be the way our tests are. You know, they show up and bam, but the Bible tells us we need patience, which means there's going to be times in tests and trials where there's a waiting period.
Yeah.
Yes.
Endures to the end. Patience being produced. If you faint not, it tells us we don't have 30-second knockouts of all our tests and trials. There's an enemy. There's opposition. There's natural things holding things up. We can have the victory, but sometimes it doesn't come in 30 seconds. And a good prize fighter better not just have one round of stamina in him. A good prize fighter better be able to go the whole 12, because sometimes you don't get the knockout punch. But if a fighter can stand there and keep delivering the blows, and what are the blows? The faith blows. We stand there, keep delivering them. When it comes time and we're standing there, our hand will get raised at the end that we're the victorious one. But if a fighter gets into the seventh round and stops throwing the punches, starts fainting, becomes vulnerable, they're the ones that's going to get knocked out. A good prize fighter must have endurance. And a good faith person who's going to walk into the great things that God has better have patience. And this is showing you if you struggle with the patience part. Nobody's saying you shouldn't want to come back to church. Nobody's saying you shouldn't want and desire and hope for things to change. Nobody's saying that.
Amen.
But when you get into discouragement and sadness and despair and hopelessness and depression over it, it's bringing those things to the surface saying, you need more endurance.
Yes. Amen.
That's what it's saying.
Yes.
So you can count it joy. Precious things are being put in you. And you might say to yourself, I just can't do this anymore, Pastor Mike. You know what's saying that? Your heart's not saying that.
Yeah.
Right. Come on.
I can't do that anymore. That's coming from your head.
Yeah.
That's coming from your flesh. Because Philippians 4:13, you should look that up, says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Yes.
Either the Bible's true or it isn't.
Yeah.
Well, I just can't take this anymore. That's not a faith statement.
Yeah.
I can take whatever the enemy throws my way because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Amen.
Oh, yes, I can take it.
Yeah.
Well, I just can't go another month. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I just... Yes, you can.
Yes.
You live out of your heart and you live out of faith and you live out of the Word. You can do it.
Yes.
You can do it, praise God.
Praise.
You're just living out of the wrong realm.
Right. Yeah.
Right,
God.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't let the devil win.
Yes.
Don't let the devil win.
Amen.
Don't let the devil win. I'm not going to let him get me discouraged. Mm-mm. I'm not going to let him make me sad. It's tried to get on me. I'm not going to let it happen. No, that's what you want me to do. That's fainting. You want me to faint, you idiot.
Yeah.
You loser.
Yeah.
Want you to get you sad and depressed. Why would you let him?
Yeah.
No, you use this as an opportunity to stand at the gates of hell with your face, with a smile on your face, with a shout on your tongue, with a strut in your walk, praise God. You laugh in his face, praise God. Why would you let him? Go to Philippians 1 and verse 28. He's not going to get me down. Nope. And this goes for all your tests and trials. Nope. You're not going to have me discouraged over that no more. No. You're not going to have me depressed over that no more. No. Not happening. Not doing it. Not fainting, praise God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you excited?
Amen.
And in nothing, and I'm going to read this in Amplified, it'll bring it out more. And in nothing, terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. What's it mean? When you're not terrified or moved by them, it's a token of perdition. But to you, salvation, that of God. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. When the enemy brings stuff your way, don't let him make you afraid. Don't let him get you worried. Don't let him have you step over into his territory of worry, despair, discouragement, grief, and sorrow. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries. For such constancy and fearlessness, what's he saying? Stay in faith, will be a clear sign, a proof, and a seal to them of their impending destruction. But a token, a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation of that of God. Faith is the answer to your deliverance. Being intimidated and getting into the devil's territory with worry, anxiety, and fear, that shows you're playing along with him. When you stand in faith and say, yeah, I want to be back in church, but you're not going to make me depressed about it. You're not going to make me sad about it. I'm not going to be discouraged. You're not going to get me into the complaining territory. Faith doesn't hang out with complainers.
That's right.
Faith doesn't hang out with despair. Faith doesn't hang out with discouragement. Faith doesn't hang out with hopelessness.
So
and when you stand there and say, nope, not happening, Mr. Devil. Oh, it's a sign unto him. He's going down. His days are coming to an end. Why? We're getting to the other side.
Amen.
Look at what it says here, and we'll close with this. Go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Glory to God. This will help you. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. No, I refuse to be discouraged.
Amen.
I refuse to be depressed.
Right.
I refuse to complain about this. Things are being put in me, precious things. Now I'm going to release my faith, and I'm going to pray because we want this to change and turn. But in the meantime, I'm not going to go through it battered and tattered and torn, depressed and sad and grief-stricken. No, not going to happen. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Now for a season. You know what that means? Temporary. Now, there's times seasons feel like they're never going to change. There's been winters that's like, it's just, you feel like this is the rest of your life. It changes, and then it's hot, and you're complaining about how hot it is. And then you think to yourself, how can I live like this? And then you find yourself freezing again. They just keep changing and changing and changing. Temporary. What we're facing right now is temporary. Don't look at it as, oh my gosh, why is this happening? Look at this as an opportunity to acquit your faith, to remove all the yuckiness, and actually, some people are not going to come out of this stronger than before.
Come on.
Because you got through it and complaining, you didn't take care. When I say about complaining is wrong, what's that doing? Pointing out an impurity.
Yeah. Amen.
And some people don't do anything about it, and they'll go off complaining the rest of the day and tomorrow, and they'll wake up grumbling and in despair and not pray. And you had an opportunity to be refined in the fire. But if you put that gold in there and don't remove the impurities stay.
Yeah.
And you spent the time in the fire for nothing.
Yes.
Don't spend time in the fire for nothing.
Amen.
This is our opportunity to get better.
Amen.
I've told you from the beginning, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Why? Impurities are being removed.
Yeah.
And precious things are being put in for you for what? Down the road. For what you're getting ready to move into and walk into. Glory to God! I just thought about some things in my own life. Turn up the heat. Keep turning it up. Come on, refine me even more. The hotter it gets, the purer and better I'm coming out, praise God. Same for you. Glory to God! Got to look at these things through the Word and renew your mind and see it from a different perspective. Turn up the heat. Come on, bring it on. Yeah, glory to God. Praise God. For a season, this season will pass. The devil will tell you it's not, this season will pass. And you know what the Holy Ghost told me in the beginning when we closed the churches? And I was, I think, the first person in the family churches to make a major change. Not saying I'm better than anyone or I hurt. I'm just saying I was out there and there was a lot of stepping out into the unknown of going and doing something different than my own pastor, who's the apostle of the family churches, was doing. But I know I heard from heaven. But the one thing that helped me in doing that, God is so good, he told me, this isn't long term. I said, okay, Lord, we can obey our hearts and do it in confidence and know. Because if this would have been something where it had been where you have to shut down the church, this is going to be a forever thing. Well, God would never say that against his word. But you understand what I'm saying? He was comforting in the beginning. This isn't long term. And you think, Pastor Mike, we haven't been there since March. That's not long term.
Right.
If you only have 1 month faith, if you only have 2 month faith, I'm not rooting for this to go longer than it needs to go, but I'm saying if you're at the end of your rope right now, boy, that's revealing something in you.
Oh, that's good.
You know you love me. Just say it. I love you, Pastor Mike. You're helping me. You're helping me, Pastor Mike. I know maybe this isn't popular to put on TV and nobody wants to hear this stuff, but this is the real stuff that makes us real Christians of real faith to be real people that can take down the devil's kingdom.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you,
guys. It's not long term. And you know what? I dare you to get in your heart and the Holy Ghost will comfort you with the same thing. It's turning. It's changing. Yeah. Just rejoice. Just be glad of what's being put in you. Be able to stare at the devil and laugh at him. What an opportunity. Praise
amen.
God. You'll never look at a trial the same if you meditate on this message.
Amen.
So what do we do? Well, ladies and gentlemen, forgive me for being snarky.
No, it's good. Come on.
But I think I have a snarky bone in me and a sarcastic bone in me that it just maybe needs to be healed. I didn't preach the PMA guidelines because it was catchy.
Yeah.
Oh,
I didn't preach that Wednesday night series because it was something to fill up time.
Yeah.
The PMA guidelines were guidelines of getting through a test successfully and preparing yourself for the next one.
Yes.
Which was what? Every day be in the Word.
Yeah.
Every day be in prayer.
Amen.
Every day be in praise and worship.
Yes.
What am I saying? The spiritual gym every day. Why? Staying strong and building yourself up. Staying strong for now and building yourself up for the future.
Yeah.
I didn't do that to waste my time.
That's right.
And part of the reason people are so moved and get discouraged and depressed and sad and at the end of the rope and lose their love walk, you're not built up.
Yeah, that's right.
And the devil just blows you right over because you're not built up. No prayer time, no word time, no praise time.
Right.
Pastor Mike wastes his time with the PMA guidelines. It wasn't to waste time. It was to help you.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you as your pastor, we're going to make it to the other side.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I can't speak for you because I can only control myself. I will be better personally when we get to the other side. Now, I'll speak as a whole for the church. I know by my spirit, the churches will be stronger. Whether or not you as an individual believer is going to be stronger and better is not up to me.
Amen.
It's up to you.
Amen.
Look at those impurities. Deal with those impurities.
Oh, yes.
Do what this message said. Listen to this message over and over. It's your help, praise
yes.
God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't know what the heck to say without the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord,
thank you, Lord,
for our help this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the refiner's fire. Lord, I'm not saying you caused the coronavirus. I'm not saying you shut down the churches. But I'm thankful for our faith going through tests and trials. We need the impurities burnt out of us. We need to remove the things that are hindering our greatest life ever. And things are being revealed that we have some yuckiness in us that needs to be taken care of. So, Father, we worship you this morning and we praise you and we thank you for all that was pointed out to us today. All that we received this morning, we thank you for this service from start to finish. For what you told us in the offering helped us. For healing bodies before the service even started, you helped us. And for the life-changing word that we've received, you've helped us today. Let's praise him for it. We thank
praise
you, Lord, for our help.
Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness.
Praise you, Father. Now, before we close the service, let me address people out there. I want everybody that's watching right now to ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know without a shadow of a doubt I'd go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, when Jeff here and Jake ask themselves that question, and many of you watching at home ask yourself that question, your answer is, I know I'm going to heaven. I'm certain of it. And if your answer isn't, I know for sure I'm going to heaven, I'm fully confident I'm going to heaven, I want to get you onto the side that we're on, where we lay our head down at night on our pillow. If it's our last night, we know we're going to be with Jesus. Like I preached about in that message, that there's an inheritance waiting for me in heaven because I've done the right things to get there. And they say, what do you mean the right things to get there? I have not been a churchgoer. I've not been faithful to go to church. It's not about going to church. Well, I've not been such a good person. You know, I have a laundry list of things, moral things that are wrong with me, flesh things that are wrong with me. That doesn't keep you out of heaven. Well, you know, I've not been much of a charitable giver or donated very much. Your finances can't buy your way in. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says there's only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. What does that mean, through Jesus? Well, thank God he tells us. He said in John 3:16, if you believe on Jesus, you'll not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13 says, if you'll call on his name, so it's simple. You believe in him in your heart. Doesn't mean you understand everything or have everything figured out, but in your heart, something there. I know I believe in Jesus. And you call on his name by asking him, acknowledging and ask him to come into your heart. The Bible says you'll be saved. So if you're watching right now and you can say, Pastor, I don't know the answer to be, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I hope, I might, I wish, I think, if those are your answers, let's get you on the side of certainty right now. So ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes. If that's you I'm talking about and you want to receive Jesus, what happens when you receive Jesus? Heaven becomes yours. What else happens when you receive Jesus? God becomes your Father, the Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12. That opens up a whole new world of inheritance and blessings in your Father's kingdom. You're now under a Father who has unlimited supplies, who's a healer, who has all your answers, and he loves you so much, he endeavors to help you. So if you want to receive Jesus here this morning, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You don't have to think up the words. All you have to do is repeat after me what I'm saying, and all I'm going to be saying is declaring our belief in Jesus and asking him to come into our heart, calling on his name like the Bible says. I just ask you to pray it after me, with me as I pray it, and mean it with all your heart. Those that have already been saved and you know you're going to heaven, let's pray it with everybody else that could be potentially praying this with us right now. Let's lift our voice and say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are real. And I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you rose from the dead. And I thank you for saving me. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You can open your eyes and look at me if you prayed that for the first time. First of all, congratulations. Your best life is now ahead of you. And if you think to yourself, well, it just can't be that simple, it is. I know religion and I know the world and the media might have told you different things about how to be accepted by God, but his Bible tells you these very things. Feel free to give me a call. The phone number's on the website, the email. Send me an email. I'd love to talk to you about this and what you just received and what it looks like going forward. Yeah, we have heaven, but we might have many, many years until we get there. God doesn't want us to live down here broke. He doesn't want to live down here depressed. He doesn't want us to live down here sick in body or tormented in our mind. He has help for us, and I want to help you getting started in your new life. And so, praise God, He was good to us. Don't forget, Wednesday night, the God of Provision, Part 3. The trilogy continues, praise God. And unlike Hollywood, most times, the sequel and the trilogy gets worse. We get better every time. Glory to glory. So praise God. Be here Wednesday night online. Come and ready to serve. And until then, be releasing your faith. Be praying. Be looking the devil square in the eyes and laughing at him. Build yourself up in the word and prayer and worship. We're going to make it. And we're going to make it to the other side. Hallelujah. Stand with me to your feet. Let's give him some praise and glory. Father, we love you. We bless you. We glorify you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your kindness. Father, we thank you. We're going to the other side. Come on, we're going to the other side. We're going to be better on the other side. We give you the praise and the glory for him. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed. You are loved and appreciated and prayed for. We'll see you Wednesday night. We'll see you later. You're dismissed. Praise God.